That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Millennials, welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Claudia just reminded me because she is currently humping someone she loves. Hey, Claude, how are you doing? Looks like you're changing your sheets back there.
I am. Yes, it's Wednesday. Now that we're doing home episodes, you guys are going to see I'm on a very consistent Wednesday sheet changing schedule. And today it's no different. Got to change the sheets. I also have been through a journey with my sheets that I actually haven't really spoken about. And I'm embarrassed to tell you because I did something kind of really unhygienic and gross.
What did you do?
Okay. So do you remember the brand?
Unburden yourself, Claudia.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and Ben is the only one who knows about it.
When you do something embarrassing, it only helps to just share it. And then it's all of our problem.
100%.
I'm gonna sip on my coffee. I'm really nervous and excited to hear what you did with your sheets.
So one of our previous and current sponsors is Purple, and they make mattresses, but they also make amazing pillows. And they sent us this pillow a couple months ago that really changed my life. It's just such a good pillow. I've been my sleep has never been the same. This is not an ad.
Is it the one that has all the nooks and crannies?
Yeah, it's squishy almost.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. And so when it came obviously without a pillowcase, and I slept with it for a few days without a pillowcase, and it was amazing, life-changing. And then when I had my sheets changed, my housekeeper put a pillowcase on it, a normal person. And I slept with it on a pillowcase, and I was just it's not the same. It's just not the same sleep. I think I need to take the pillowcase off. And I realized it's not the cleanest thing to do, but I started sleeping with it without a pillowcase. And then over time, my skin products, my hair products, it started to get this really good smell that was just me in a pillow. I know that sounds disgusting. It wasn't gross. It was it was cute. It was a good smell, I swear.
Okay.
So, weeks have gone by where I was, sleeping with smelly pillow. That's what me and Ben started to call it. And it was, the only thing that I could sleep with, I swear. I almost brought it on our vacation. It's such a part of who I am. And then a couple days ago, I was smelly pillow has taken a turn for the worse. What do I do? I'm I can throw a pillowcase on it, but the pillow in and of itself still smells. I gotta clean it. So Ben was throw it in the wash.
The whole pillow.
Right. And I'm are you sure? He was yes, I swear. So we threw it in the wash, and then we threw it in the dryer. And after one tumble in the dryer, it wasn't dry, which makes sense. So we did a second one, and then a third one, and a fourth, and a fifth. And it's just the core of the pillow was still wet. It was in the dryer the entire day. And by the nighttime I pulled it out, I was this is as dry as it's gonna get. And so now smelly pillow is back on the bed, still without a pillowcase, but has a different kind of smell, like a laundry smell.
Okay.
And but not a good laundry smell, when you leave your clothes in the wash and you forget to put them in the dryer, you know?
Mold.
No, I wouldn't say mold, just a unique, wet, interesting smell. A sexy, wet, unique smell.
But most pillowcases come with, not a pillowcase, of course, but a coverlet. And I learned this the hard way because there was a period of time where Brew was enjoying being on the pillows. And it wasn't enough to wash the pillowcases. I also saw that they were in a zippered thing.
Shit, that's a really good call.
Can you go grab your pillow?
Of course I can grab a smelly pillow. Hold on.
I'm surprised you've lasted this long without it. We need to get to the bottom of this because most of the pillows I've encountered do have a bit of a coverlet on them because sometimes pillows get stained. I can't imagine you missed this, though.
Let me get situated back.
Oh, she needs to put her headphones in. Or does she?
I have news.
She has news.
There's a zipper.
Are you okay?
Hold on. Look. Smelly pillow right here. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's literally right there.
Oh my God, the inside of the pillow is not what I thought it would be.
What is it?
It's just a pillow, but, like, I just thought it would be, like, full of unicorns and, like...
Okay, I can't, like,
I should wash it.
Yeah, this is a joke.
Okay, I'll handle this later.
This is a joke. You
and
Ben...
See, that's why I have to unburden myself to you, because you just know things. What the hell is a pillow cover?
I don't know, but, like, the pillow industry knows that things happen to your pillows and that you need another barrier. You can't just, like, raw dog these pillows.
Shit. So I threw the whole thing in the wash for no fucking reason.
For no fucking reason.
Great. Absolutely great news.
And you could have been washing, you could have been sleeping the way that you wanted and washing your pillow at the same time.
So wait, the good news is that I don't have to put a case on smelly pillow is what you're saying.
Right. You don't. Not if you don't want to.
Ooh.
Ben will be excited to hear this. I can't believe you guys missed a fucking zipper that's out in the open.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I thought it was just like a pillow and then a case.
To be fair, the first time I experienced it, I didn't know it was a thing either. And then I was like, I saw one and I was like, oh my God, I need to wash them again because I can wash the outside.
Do you think the integrity of the pillow has been jeopardized by my dumbass move?
Six cycles in the dryer, like, that's a lot of tumbling.
I think I need to get a new one.
I think you do too. And I think that you should because you love it so much and you learned your lesson.
I did.
And it won't happen again.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. I'm
so eternally indebted to you.
Tips and tricks. Well, yesterday was such an interesting day for me. Do you know what I did yesterday? Well, you know, but no one else does. Because yeah. I didn't post about it, which was weird. I made a lasagna.
Oh, big mistake.
I meant to post about it, but then there was no point at which I was, like, ready to flex, you know? Mm-hmm. And when it came out, I was like, it looks like it's edible.
I'm not
but
proud of this.
It's not, like, stunning. Right. But it was really delicious. But oh my gosh, it was so much work. I assumed the lasagna would be more akin to like a casserole. You just like throw a bunch of shit in there and then like let it bake. But you have to cook each noodle sheet individually. There was like 9 of them.
Yeah, lasagna's notoriously laborious.
Oh my God, my back was broken. It's not something you should do 8 months plus pregnant.
Jackie, I know nothing and I could have told you that.
I was broken, but I ate good for dinner.
Are you noticing that your lips are bigger in pregnancy? They look so luscious right now.
My lips are massive.
Yeah, like they're massive.
They're massive. They've always been massive. They're extra massive. Like they have a little, I don't know what percent. I would say they're like 5% bigger. Plus I'm wearing, you know, a bold lip.
Mm-hmm.
And I look like a little bit like a clown.
No, 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 no. You're not giving off any sort of bozo energy. Don't worry.
Because in the beginning of these, when we were doing podcasting from home, I was wearing just like a light lip. And it mm-hmm. just looked like I wasn't wearing enough makeup. So like amping up the lip color was a way for me to like look a little bit more glam. But it has clown vibes.
No, it doesn't. Your lips look amazing. Like what I would do for those lips.
Mm. I guess like, you know what? It makes up for not being able to get Botox, you know?
100%. Because,
like, obviously, if I were someone who got fillers, I wouldn't be able to get fillers, but, like, it would even out. But
it would even out.
There's nothing like, my forehead is out of control.
Mine's not.
I'm so jealous. That's been a hard one. That's been a hard one to live without. It's funny and surprising what are the things that I miss the most.
Right. Okay, so postpartum, like I see people on TikTok all the time, like a lot of people like order Subway sandwiches to the delivery room because they can't eat, I guess, like sweaty meats is not pregnancy approved.
Not.
What is like the two things that you are just dying to do? Like some people have a drink. I know that's not what you're looking forward to.
No. And actually watching Vanderpump Rules last night, which we'll recap, like made me never, like it, watching James and Lala sober compared to how they used to be, like, it makes me never want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, things that I'm excited to do. One, skiing. I really, like, watching people ski this season, like, has given me FOMO. I definitely miss this season, but that's something that has been hard.
Mm-hmm.
Two, obviously Botox, what I was just saying.
Well, but I was more saying, like, things you could do in the delivery room. I don't think you could do skiing in the hospital.
Okay, things like that I could eat that I miss. Hot dogs.
Oh, wow.
I love hot. You know, they're like my favorite food. So maybe I'll get some pigs in a blanket.
Love that for you.
I miss sushi a little bit sometimes, like some sushi. But I also could eat sushi if I really wanted. Like, that's what a lot of doctors do say. I mean, of course, everything is like, you know, in moderation mm-hmm. and with caution. But if it's a good piece of fish, raw fish, like it really shouldn't have any adverse effects. So, like, mm-hmm. if I wanted to, I could have some sushi. But whenever I'm craving sushi, I just get an avocado roll or a cucumber roll with soy sauce.
It does the trick.
Ginger. It does the trick pretty much. But then I look over at Zach's. He gets like sugarfish salmon on that rice.
By the way, like, I totally understand. And if you are craving sushi, stay far away from Ben's offer.
Oh, yeah. No, sometimes his stories, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, but Ben has a way. Ben has a way of like making the worst food look good. That's like his talent.
And even though I've had tuna fish 2 times, like I do want more tuna fish.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So those are the things. But so far, like living without them is not the biggest deal. I miss more so just like being up like a spray tan.
Of course, I'm getting one today.
I could get a spray tan, like, if I absolutely, I don't leave the house, so why would I get one just to stain my sheets? But, like, stuff like that, that I've forsaken, but I didn't need to, but, like, I just look forward to, like, when I can be a person who has my eyelashes dyed, eyebrows dyed, spray tan, nails done, mm-hmm. everything, you know?
I got you.
I just don't need those things right now, which is why I'm not even thinking about doing them.
100%. Mm-hmm. So of course we have a great show for you guys today. We're going to recap Vanderpump Rules, but I did want to tell everyone that I did finish the season premiere of Euphoria, and it was really good. Like really, really good. One of my favorite characters, Cassie, who was played by Sydney Sweeney, who's like this HBO star. Like she's on her way to becoming huge.
People are obsessed.
She's so unique looking. Like she has such a unique shaped eye, and she's a really talented actress. And this episode was very much like her moment. She had like the scene in the bathroom with Jacob Elordi where her acting was on fucking point. Like I've never seen anything like it before. She was beautiful, successful, amazing, talented, blender, put it in a blender, give birth to it, throw it up. So good. There were some traumatizing moments of the episode. Like I don't know why they really had to show us like a man shitting on the toilet, like from like a direct eyeline POV, like you saw his penis. Like it was so unnecessary and borderline traumatizing.
That's disgusting.
No, it was so unnecessary. Like she's supposed to be hiding in the bathroom and she's trying to like wait for the bathroom to empty. So she's hiding behind the shower so she can run out so nobody saw, I won't spoil, like what she was doing in the bathroom before.
Okay.
So finally this couple leaves and she's about to get out and this guy comes in so she gets back in the shower and she like looks out to see what's going on. It's like some guy taking a dump. Like it's just so unnecessary.
That is so unnecessary.
Yeah, it's really annoying. But another thing is like I've been watching all the cast, especially Jacob Elordi, is doing press. And I've been reminded that Jacob Elordi is Australian, which is just really shocking because he just doesn't give me like that vibe.
Yeah.
So he really does an amazing American accent.
Good for him.
I guess in all of his films, The Kissing Booth, critically acclaimed Oscar-winning film.
What else has he been in?
The Kissing Booth 1. Oh, he was in The Kissing Booth 2. Oh, and The Kissing Booth 3.
Okay, is that really it? That
and Euphoria? He's been in some other stuff, but I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, so it's not, like, popping.
No, he's very, like, artsy. If you look at his Instagram, he's really into photography. I think he does, like, a bunch of, like, student films. Not student films, but, like, indies.
That's nice for him.
Yeah, but he's really on his way to being, like, Brad Pitt of our generation.
That's nice for him.
Yeah. Everyone in the cast, like, this show is so big and it's so good for them. They're all just, like, becoming so, it reminds me of how the kids from Riverdale became, like, that show was a part, like, such a huge part of, like, the cultural zeitgeist. And then immediately they had, like, millions and millions of followers, millions and millions of fans. That's what it reminds me of. But yeah. For, like, a more mature audience.
For a more mature audience, to say the least.
Yeah. So that's what I did. And then I just had the busiest day yesterday because scheduling announcement. I'm going to Mexico tomorrow. So tomorrow's episode will be podcast only. And then we're off Friday and Monday for Martin Luther King weekend. Hope everyone has a nice long weekend. And then we're back doing the integrated interface on Tuesday.
Exciting. We hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
We'll miss seeing your face, but it'll be so worth it for you to get some good times, good vibes under your belt and to come back to us, you know, renewed.
Come back with stories to tell, a tan face, like no one has to look at this big ass Michelin man for much longer. It's going to be great for all of us. Like we're all going to benefit.
I look forward to it. I really do.
There's like not that much going on in the world today, except for obviously Jamie Lynn on GMA this morning is huge.
Yeah, there's actually some interesting stuff, some not so interesting stuff. There's a story about Drake that I'm so excited to share with you. You hadn't heard it yet, and I'm looking forward to getting your 2 cents. It's kind of unverified, but just the rumor itself is so worth discussing.
You know, like nothing grinds my gears more than an unverified source.
Yeah, no, it's very rumor mill, but it's worth discussing, and we're gonna talk about it. So, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility. The traditional guidance with fertility has been just wait and see. But now we have tools to help us plan and track for everything in our lives. Wellness, finance, career, school. And so why is fertility still a wait and see? Knowledge is power, and that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. You'll get insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, aka how many eggs you have, compared to other women your age. You also get other important fertility factors, and the results go super deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps. So traditional testing when you go to a doctor is super expensive. It can cost over $1,000, but the Modern Fertility service gets you the same information at just $159, which is a fraction of the price, and if you go to modernfertility.com/toast, you'll get $20 off your test. So again, that's $159 minus our $20 code at modernfertility.com/toast. So if you want kids one day, maybe in the future, or you just want to want clinically sound information about your body, Modern Fertility is here for you. And they are offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast. And that means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost you at a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast. modernfertility.com/toast.
Great. Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Our first story, Jamie Lynn Spears is sitting down with GMA and saying, quote, "I went out of my way to help Britney end the conservatorship." Jamie Lynn Spears claimed in a rare TV interview Wednesday that she tried to help her now estranged sister, Britney Spears's controversial conservatorship. She said, "I've always been my sister's biggest supporter, so when she needed help, I set up ways to do so. I went out of my way to make sure that she had the contact she needed to possibly go ahead and end this conservatorship and just end this all for our family. If it's going to cause this much discord, why continue it?" She did not reveal which contact she gave Britney, nor whether the pop star ever got in touch with them.
I hate to see sisters feuding, especially in the public eye. It just gives me a pit. It's just not good. But at the end of the day, two sisters are saying two totally different things. And I'm inclined to believe Britney. Because right. To me, Britney's the victim in all this. She doesn't really have much to gain by lying. On the other hand, Jamie has quite a lot to gain by lying. The public has really turned against Jamie. She has this big book coming out. That's what GMA was for, to promote the book. So she's like fighting this uphill battle, and I feel like she's saying anything to win, whereas like Britney has nothing left to lose. Like, she has literally lost her freedom. Like, she has no reason to lie. I'm gonna back Britney, but I just want to say I hate seeing sisterhood divided.
I agree. And also, over the last 13 years while Britney was in her conservatorship, I'm sure she would have done anything for an ally, especially someone in her family and someone who could like vouch for her and help her out. And so I think if Jamie Lynn was that person, Britney wouldn't have forgotten that.
No, and there's a paper trail. There is physical evidence that Jamie Lynn was benefiting financially from the conservatorship. Like, I really don't feel like the GMA woman asked the right answers. I mean, the right questions.
Yeah, it's tough to speculate, and you don't know. And even, like, you know, so much of this is public, but really not. So it's really what she said versus what she said. And I just think that Britney, if her sister had her back in a real way, she would remember. Like, she's looking for allies, friends, family. Like, she's wanted support all this time. If she had support, she wouldn't have just thrown it by the wayside.
No, and it's easy to support her now, like when she's free and the whole world is rooting for her. Like, that's easy. But in the hard times when Britney was labeled like crazy and she had no access to her money and she was being like forced to go on different drugs, like, where was the allyship then?
Yeah. Agreed.
And by the way, I do want to say what Jamie said in the interview, which I do agree with. Like, when this whole thing started, I don't think Jamie Lynn has been like, you know, plotting since the beginning. When Britney was put into a conservatorship, Jamie Lynn was 17 and she was pregnant. Like, I do believe at first she had nothing to do with it. She had her own problems, her own life going on. I believe she lived in Louisiana. I don't think that she's this whole time been like a conspirator.
Agreed.
But you get old, you get responsibilities, it's your sister, you have to have her back, it's your family, it's on you to do the right thing, and she didn't. So that I do blame her for.
Right, and also the reasons for the conservatorship 13 years ago, like after 13, like things change and things are in flux for 13 years. So even if at the time you had nothing to do with it, and maybe at the time it sounded like a good idea based on things that were happening, like Britney has been struggling for her freedom for a few years now. And at any point you could have stepped up and helped her out.
Or been like a voice for her in the way that like her boyfriend, fiance, are they engaged? I can't remember. Sam, like for like the last year has really been like her mouthpiece. Like she couldn't even control her on Instagram, so he would respond to like certain things in the best way that he could given the fact that they were literally like in a prison. So Jamie could have been that too, but she wasn't.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
Britney needed Jamie, and Jamie was nowhere to be found, and those scars don't heal overnight.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know where we go from here with the two of them. It is sad to see them feuding. And also, Jamie Lynn's got to sell books, so.
Right, so always keep that in mind.
No, but it's like, so she needs to do press to sell her books, like, and the press is going to ask about Britney because that's really the biggest story in the world and also the biggest story in Jamie's life. So she's going to be talking about it, ergo, we're going to be hearing about the feud, even if perhaps she doesn't want to be talking about it.
Can I tell you something? I feel like this book, so it takes a really long time to write and publish a book, like 1.5 to 2 years, maybe 1 to 2 years. So I have a feeling when the concept for this book was being conceptualized and being written and being published, the thought of the conservatorship ever actually ending was so far-fetched that I think Jamie thought she could release this book, do press, unresponded by Britney, if that makes sense. And then once the conservatorship was canceled, it was like about the same time that the book announcement was scheduled. Like the train was already moving. You can't stop. The books have been published. They've been printed. They've been sent to bookstores. You can't stop it. So I think now, like hindsight, if she could not do the book, she wouldn't have done the book. But the timing was like so not in Jamie Lynn's favor. Like she thought she could just say whatever she wanted and no one would be there to check her.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I think.
I mean, but I would have to read the book to make that call.
Yes. Because and she does talk about the conservatorship in the book.
Does she?
So I was under the impression that she didn't, because like I said, this book must have been written 2 years ago. And in the interview, she said, well, I wrote in the book about the conservatorship, how I said X, Y, and Z. And I found that shocking.
I'm sure that she mentions it, but the book is not about that. Like, it's about her journey.
I'm assuming, so, like, her teen pregnancy.
I would have to read the book to decipher what her intentions were when she made the decision to publish it and how much her plans have been derailed.
Are you going to read the book?
I don't think so. But you never know. I mean, if it comes highly recommended, then maybe I would. Like, if I heard really good things about it. But I don't know. I haven't read a celeb memoir in a while. I've got a lot that I'm actually looking to read. Like, some fiction books and also some... what is the category? If it's, like... not self-help, advice, how, like, parenting stuff. So,
got it. Plate's full. Yeah, I don't think this book is going to come highly recommended, in my opinion.
We'll see. Let us know. If you guys have read it, please let me know.
I don't think it's out yet.
Well, maybe you got a NetGalley preview.
Right.
Okay, our next story, crazy news. Drake
from State Farm.
Drake seemingly responds to rumors of putting hot sauce in a condom to prevent a woman stealing his sperm.
I did hear this.
Okay. So Drake has posted an Instagram caption that maybe makes it seem like he's responding to this crazy story, which I will give you the details. This is from Too Much Hot Tea on Instagram. Allegedly, an Instagram model is trying to sue Drake for putting hot sauce in his condom. Allegedly, Drake and the Instagram model allegedly met up on Instagram and the two decided to link up a few weeks ago. The model and Drake had a romantic encounter, and what happened next was crazy. So the two of them had sex, then he wore a condom for the sexual encounter, and he went to the bathroom after to dispose of it. The girl fished the condom out of the trash, untied it, and put the opening into her vagina. Boy, was she in for a surprise. She said it felt like pouring hot lava into her pussy. She screamed and Drake ran into the bathroom. He admitted that he poured a packet of hot sauce in. This is the caption on Too Much Hot Tea. I said pussy. I said it.
You said pussy.
I said it.
Okay.
Yep. Hot lava in the pussy. She screamed and Drake ran into the bathroom. He admitted that he poured a packet of hot sauce in the condom to kill the sperm. Now the Instagram model is threatening to sue Drake.
Oh my God, what fucking nerve.
What fucking nerve. I mean, first of all, a lot of people are saying, like, this can't be true. Why wouldn't he just, like, flush the condom down the toilet? There are other ways to get rid of a condom and make sure, like, someone's not trying to, like, illegally inseminate themselves without your consent. But perhaps it is true. Like,
by the way, this sounds 100% believable.
I kind of agree. And you know what? I kind of hope that it's true. Like, obviously, I, like, RIP to her vagina. But what are you doing? No. That, what do you think? Like, this is your, like, you just found a career. You're going to steal some sperm and get pregnant. Like, I, on it, if Drake really does this with his condoms, I have so much respect.
Me too. How unethical to, like, go fish out a condom to try and trick someone of a certain status, wealth, fame into fatherhood. Like, that is so fucked up. And what's even more fucked up is this bitch thinking she can sue.
I don't know the legalities, but I have to imagine that trying to, like, steal someone's sperm is illegal in some way.
I could argue Drake could sue her.
Right, right. So, like, if I'm her and I just got caught trying to steal your sperm and, like, really make a moment for myself, I'm just going to take the L and move on, you know? It didn't work out. Your big plan was foiled.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, it's so upsetting that, like, obviously, you know, Drake has millions of dollars. Like, he's a very privileged person. But that must be extremely difficult to, especially when you're a single guy and, like, so much of your lifestyle being a celebrity is, like, meeting girls, having sex with them. It's, like, one of the perks, you know? But this is something you always have to look out for. And honestly, like, just in my opinion, like, get a girlfriend. Like, you could have sex with her as much as you want, someone you could trust, and they're not going to put a sperm-filled condom up their pussy.
No, I was thinking the same thing. Like, how empty is it to have, even have, like, sex with someone, and she talked about the sex, that, like, that it was very consensual and, like, they were both really into it, but to even have sex with, like, good sex with someone and you just really can't fucking trust them, like, I mean, I'm sure in the beginning, like, it's all very exciting, but he's been a big star for a very long time now, and I imagine it really wears on you. You know, every time after you finish the act, like, you have to go pour hot sauce in the condom because, like, you just can't trust anybody. So, yeah, it's like, get a girlfriend, but then it's like, eventually that girlfriend might want kids too.
Okay, but you know what? You've been with someone for 3 years, then you can have a baby with them in a consensual manner. I just, like, I can't imagine that this lifestyle of, like, hooking up with a million girls is worth it when, like, these are the consequences. These are the way people treat you. Like, and you know what makes me sad? There are so many girls that I know who are lovely, delicious, nice girls who would do anything to have sex with Drake, not have a baby with him, just one night with Drake, you know? And the girls that actually get to the one night with Drake are disgusting girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it makes you, like, think about the fact, like, I feel like so often we hear about celebrities who are, you know, getting women pregnant and not meaning to.
Tristan.
And you just are like, why don't you wear a condom? Like,
right.
Safe sex. And it's like, maybe they are.
No,
maybe
totally.
They are. And the girls are shoving it up their pussy.
No, that's an amazing, amazing call. And do we know, like, who this girl is? Or it's still all just, like, an alleged story? Does she have a name?
It's all an alleged story. She's an Instagram model. And the only small verification is that Drake posted to his Instagram, like, a nice photo of himself. And he said, you can have your 15 minutes of fame. I'll have the other 23 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay, that's, like, really not, like, any sort of validation for me. It could be, like, a new lyric in his next song.
Okay, but no, I mean, is anything ever validation? Like, we just...
Never.
We just sit here and, like, try and put pieces of a puzzle together.
We just sit here and stew.
Yeah, but overall, when I read this story, I was just, like, good for Drake.
Yeah, no, when I read this story, I was like, what a sad, like, life to live.
Mm-hmm.
People want you for your sperm, not because they think you're so great and want to have your children, because they want money from you.
And imagine, like, bringing a child into the world in that way.
Spite baby.
Beyond. No, but at least there was, like, a relationship.
No, and there was, like, a consent to have a child.
Right. Both people knew that child making could happen.
Right. No, this is so fucked up. It makes me think so, like, little of humanity.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's literally like a cautionary tale. Do evil things, evil will be done unto your pussy.
Yeah, and also I think this is, whether or not this is true, like, it's just a good thing to have floating out there. Like, I don't know, maybe don't pour the condom in your pussy, could have hot sauce in it.
No, the next girl who's inspired to do this will have heard the story and, like, maybe she'll hesitate when reaching into the trash for the cum-filled condom to be like, what if there's hot sauce in here, you know? Is that a risk I'm personally willing to take? It'll make them take a step back and think.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Sometimes a lesson can be learned from everything.
I'm just sad. Like, I really want Drake to find, and, you know, in my heart of hearts, he's a nice Jewish boy. Like, we would find him we need to set him up with Snatchler. Snatchler would never do that.
Snatchler would never do that. I agree. And also, I'm sure, like, out of all the crazy things, like, Drake and so many other celebs, like, have seen, like, this is really not even a thing. Like, you know, obviously you hear about people like poking holes in condoms, but, like, you can check for that. You can know if that happened. I feel like this is a whole, like, set of things to worry about that I never even thought about.
No, totally. Like, this is an eye-opening story for me.
I completely agree. Anyways, very interesting nonetheless.
Sending our best regards, best wishes to Drake.
Yes. Are you ready for our next story? Oh,
there was one more thing I wanted to say, because you remember how yesterday I was talking. I'm, like, learning so much about Euphoria. I'm, like, 2 years behind. You know how I was saying yesterday how, like, the music on Euphoria is becoming, like, the new TRL? Mm-hmm. And it was, like, what came first, the song on TikTok or the song on Euphoria? Somebody let me know that Drake is actually a producer on Euphoria. And that really speaks to why the music is so, you know, on point.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Our next story, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson hit the outlet mall for caramel apples and frozen bananas. Kim and Pete indulged in their sweet tooths in California on Monday, hitting the Camarillo Premium Outlets Mall, seeming bodyguards in tow, for a sugar fix. They stopped into the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory to get caramel apples and frozen bananas, like she always does when she's out there. A photo of the couple was spotted on Dumois and was later picked up by Nori's Black Book.
I love how these are becoming, like, valid news sources. NoriesBlackBook.com.
Despite other reports, they did not hit any of the other stores in the mall.
I just want to say, like, this is so Kim. Like, remember that episode where she hid in the back of the Rolls Royce so that Jonathan would go get her a Wetzel's pretzel?
Yeah.
This is so Kim. Yeah. And I feel like she's just really being herself.
Yeah, no, and she, like, has her sweet tooth, and I feel like Kim, like, knows what's good, especially when it comes to food, like, her and her beignets, mm-hmm. and I feel like she, like, works really hard, she, like, tears it up in the gym, and then she also treats herself, but she, like, knows the exact things to get. So, I want to go to the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Shop with Kim Kardashian.
No, like, I want to travel, and you have to think about it, it's been, like, what, 15 years that Kim has been famous? She's traveled all around the world, eaten at the best restaurants, and she knows, like, the best of the best, whether that's Michelin star or it's in an outlet mall. Like, I want to go on a global food tour with Kim. Like, she knows how to eat.
She needs to collab with Zagat's and give us a guide
that's a good
the
idea.
Best food out there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like when you're collabing with Fendi, do you then go to Zagat's?
But that's next. Kim. She's like America's celeb. Get you a girl who can do both. Zagat x Fendi.
Zagat x Skims.
Something. Yeah, they can make really cute fanny packs for traveling. Suitcases.
Cute.
No, I'm telling you.
Anyways, these two are, like, really going strong. I know I say this every single time we report about them doing anything, but, like, they are in, like, a real-ass relationship. They're seeing each other, like, every day.
And they're working hard at it. They're stepping out. He's, like, truly New York-based, and she's truly L.A.-based. So you know they're working hard, earning those credit card miles, and they're putting in the effort.
Yeah, obviously, like, it's on him to get out to see her more. One, because, like, his show's not in season, and two, like, she's got four kids, and she's a lawyer, and she's this and that, and obviously. But they're making
it work. Kim doesn't come to you. You come to Kim.
They're spending a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when you spend that much time with someone, you really have to like them. Otherwise, you're being tortured.
And, you know, Pete is, like, known for being spotted with beautiful women, and it doesn't always, aside from Ariana Grande and maybe Phoebe Dinever, like, it doesn't last past, like, two or three appearances. So now Kim and Pete have been spotted, like, six times.
Yeah. This makes is really think. Crazy. It never ceases. I know I'm a broken record, but, like, every time they do something new, I'm just, like, I'm in shock again.
But I just do want to say that in my personal, like, my vision board for Kim's life, I don't have her ending up with Pete. Like, this is a fun single gal adventure. But what I see for Kim is much bigger. But this is great for her PR. I'm sure she's having so much fun. I love it. Short term.
Agreed. Okay. Short term. I'll take up to a year.
Yeah. This is just not how it ends for Kim.
No. Oh, no.
She needs, okay, like, someone on her level.
Yeah. Agreed. Our next story, some, I guess, exciting news. Not at all. Just trying to be positive. The Oscars this year will have a host for the first time since 2018.
A host that literally nobody asked for.
After a long streak of going without a host, the Oscars will once again have an MC. For the first time since 2018, the award show will be led by a yet-to-be-named host. The telecast is set to air on March 27th on ABC. So my question to you is, who do you think should host the Oscars?
The rumors are that it's Tom Hiddleston.
I didn't see that.
Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm familiar with him. Low-key.
Low-key.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I've really been trying to think of who it could be. Now, since it's on ABC, it's not going to be Kelly Clarkson because she is an NBC girly.
That's a really good call.
So you have to think about ABC talent. I don't think it's going to be one of the late night hosts. I think that they're not very self-aware, but I think they know enough to know that nobody wants to hear from them at the Oscars.
To be honest, like, I'm really not interested in watching a hosted Oscars until Kevin Hart gets what is rightfully his.
Yeah.
I mean, and I feel like if he wanted to do it, they would let him do it. But he's so done with the Academy after, like, that whole drama. But to be honest, he would be incredible at it. And it's time. Like, it is time.
If he wanted to do it, they would have him do it. He does not want to do it anymore. I mean, who really would want to do it? So, but there are people, obviously, if you're at the top of your game, like, you only have what to lose by hosting the Oscars. Mm-hmm. But there are people who would stand to gain something. Maybe someone on the C-list, you know? But yeah, someone who's really talented and who could, if someone could step up to the plate and do an amazing job, which isn't that far-fetched. It's just doing good at your job, being funny, people liking you. Like, it would be a major opportunity for them. I have to believe that there's someone out there who is willing to take that on.
No, you're right. It's really a thankless job. And when I think of, like, Anne Hathaway, who was, you know, belle of the ball at the Oscars year after year and then hosted, she was annihilated. Like, you're right. Someone who's at the top of their game, it's a job that, like, literally no matter how good you do, people will say they hated it. It's always 50-50. So, like, who would want to fucking do that when you could just go to the awards and, like, win and, like, hang out with people and party and drink? Or you have to stand on stage and, like, do the hardest job ever. So, you're right. Like, a C-lister who will love the recognition, even if they don't do a great job, like, it's still the biggest gig they'll ever have. I don't know. Let's just talk about the possibility of it being Tom Hiddleston. I'm not super familiar with his personality. I think he is really well-liked. I just think the choice is, like, so uninspired.
I think that would be a train wreck, honestly. Like, really. I mean, I don't know him on a personal level or even on, like, I know you at all. I've never seen him in anything or, like, watch an interview with him. But I can't imagine he's, like, the funniest person. And I think a lot of people would be like, who is this guy? No, I think we need, like, a mid-tier comedian. Honestly, like Pete Davidson.
Oh my god, duh.
Even though he's not mid-tier, he's higher than that, and he's on SNL and that's NBC, and he's probably too big for what we're saying, but, like, someone who, you know, has a comedy special that's on a streaming service right now that could use a couple million views more, like, could use that bump, and someone who's genuinely funny that would do a good job.
Yeah, no, you're right. Pete Davidson gives me, like, a similar vibe to Ricky Gervais, which, in my opinion, was, like, the most recent great host.
He's amazing.
Who just didn't give a fuck. But, yes, also, like, maybe a comedy duo. Like, Michael Che and Colin Jost are really good together live. They go on tour together live. They're experienced.
I don't know. I don't think people want to hear it from them.
Why? People love them.
No, I think they're too, like, they're just too established almost. And it feels like more of the same.
Yeah. So, honestly, like, Bo Burnham.
Yeah, like, someone who's just going to, like, get out there. Like, a podcaster, really.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking of, like, the comedian ex-podcaster community.
Tim Dillon. Wait. Tim Dillon. Me. You. Me. Would you do it?
100%. Are you fucking kidding me?
Would you? I don't know.
Host the Oscars?
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, not this year, because I'm, like, I wouldn't want to be seen on TV, like, you know, like this, no Botox. But, right. In the few, like, hypothetically, yeah, I guess, who said the fuck says no to that?
Right.
Even though I'd be ripped to shreds.
Yeah, you're right. Like, because for me, and I know it was, like, a controversial, you know, night, but when Ricky Gervais did it, it was so out there, and he was just saying the things so many people were thinking. Like, it was in the midst of the Me Too movement, and it was just all so hypocritical. And he just went there, like, in front of the people who are being, like, the hypocrites. And it was really good, and I think, like, America loved it. At least I did.
Yeah, I think they should look towards the podcast comedy charts.
Yeah, like Bill Burr.
And make, oh, that's who I thought you were talking about when you said Bo Burnham.
No, Bo Burnham is inside.
Yeah, he's the singer in his room.
And he, by the way, he is very musically inclined. Like, he could do great little musical bits. I think it would be good.
I think that's actually a really good. I didn't watch Inside, but people loved it. And I actually think that's like the perfect choice.
Me too. Especially because, like, he's really famous in a niche comedy community. Especially it's like a really specific corner of the internet. But this would be like his big public break.
Okay. I think that we've given them some really good thought starters, and it can
I
be done.
I don't think, like, Tom Hiddleston is the right choice.
No. But I just want to say, like, it can be done. Like, there is a path to success here. Like, there, it doesn't have to go, like, it doesn't have to be the Golden Globes 2022, where we're just on our way to not even televised. Like, we can turn this thing around, you guys. And I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, I'm trying to be optimistic about the Oscars, but, like,
yeah.
It just, I hate to see the failure, abject failure.
And I do think Tom Hiddleston would be like another Jimmy Kimmel, even though he's not like a late night host. He's just like, I'm sure he's a lovely person. This is nothing against him. He's just like bleh. And he's the type of person who will be at the Oscars one day. So it's like, he's just one of them. Like, you need an outsider.
100%. 100%. Okay, so we've given you a lot to think about. Let us know who you think should host the Oscars.
Yes, I would love to hear other people's choices.
And our fifth and final story is that Summer House star Lindsay Hubbard finally confirms that she's dating Carl Radke.
Oh, slow news day.
Yeah.
Lindsay Hubbard. But no, a lot of people are, like, shook up about this.
Okay, in an interview with Page Six, she finally confirmed her relationship with Summer House's Carl. She said, "We're definitely dating," before adding that they haven't assumed the boyfriend-girlfriend label just yet. Ooh, that's a little awkward.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it's difficult when you're dating someone and you have to deal with, like, the regular dating stuff. Like, are we defining the relationship?
Yeah.
Are we seeing other people? Like, there's all these different obstacles before you get to, like, boyfriend and girlfriend. And it's really awkward. And then having, like, the whole public element where people, like, are wanting you to confirm it. But it's like, this guy hasn't even confirmed it. Like,
right.
There's a lot. Like, I have a lot of sympathy. That must be incredibly awkward.
Right. And everyone thinks you're just, like, being coy and annoying. And it's like, no, we haven't had the talk yet. Can you pipe down?
Can you shut the fuck up? Yeah.
Right. And everyone, like, is probably, like, influencing, or if it were me, like, I would feel like people's comments would be influencing, like, how he's feeling about the relationship. And it's like,
so much pressure. And it's not even coming
from
me.
Enough as it is without all of that. So I agree with you that must be trying. And, like, she said, we don't really talk in labels, Carl and I, but we're very much together and we're very happy. And it's like, having that, like, labels discussion, even as a regular person, is so uncomfortable. Now you have to tell Page Six, like, we don't talk about labels.
Right. No, it's just like an added element of uncomfort to an already uncomfortable situation, like defining your relationship with a guy, especially if he's like a previous, like, he's like a recovering fuckboy. It's just like, it's awkward.
Yeah. It's awkward. So I'm glad that they're figuring it out. I feel like it's been a really long time. We reported on this a while ago that they were, like, seen together and perhaps dating. It's been, like, a while since then, though. So
I would also think that's so confusing, like, because I didn't even finish Winter House, but like when I was on Winter House, like she was in love with Austin and perhaps pursuing something with someone else, like, and I don't think I'm gonna watch Summer House, but I don't think that their relationship was even like a thing then. So it's just very confusing when you're on a reality TV show and it's airing of shit that happened a year ago.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, that could lead into our TV recap.
Yes, Vanderpump Rules was on last night. We've got lots to say. And Vanderpump Rules recap is brought to you by Paint Your Life. If you want to give your wife, husband, grandmother, parents the perfect gift this year, then you got to check out paintyourlife.com, where you can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a really affordable price. So you choose from a team of world-class artists, and you work with them until every detail is perfect. Their platform is super user-friendly. It lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's a really quick and easy process, and the whole thing can take about like 3 weeks. So you send a picture of you, yourself, your children, your family, a pet, which is exactly what I did, or you can combine multiple photos into a painting. It makes the perfect birthday gift, anniversary, wedding, anything. I got one made of Theo for Ben for our anniversary. It is literally my most prized possession because it was a gift for Ben, but really a gift for me.
Totally. I got one of my wedding photos and it just looks like an actual work of art. This is the best gift. It's obviously thoughtful, but it's sickening, and it's literally art in your house, and you're the muse.
It's also a great way to commemorate someone who's passed away. Like, I know a lot of people take like their wedding photos where maybe their grandfather wasn't there and they have a picture of their grandfather put in. It's just really cool. You can get really creative with your own thing or just recreate a photo. It's the best gift. And at paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded, guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting, 20% off, and free shipping. To get the special offer, text morning to 64,000. So that's morning, as in the morning toast. Text morning to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, that's text morning to 64,000.
Great.
So Vanderpump Rules was actually pretty good. I thought, actually, it's kind of sad, like, seeing all this, like, engagement stuff, because I thought The Weeknd was really beautiful and really well done. And it was clear that, like, they paid a lot of money and Raquel put, like, a lot of thought into The Weeknd. It was just beautiful. And now knowing that they're not even engaged anymore is, like, sad.
Agreed. It was so stunning. And the more beautiful it was, and with every room that we saw and everything that they planned, the more the Brock meter went down. Like,
let's talk about the engagement.
I wish I could have had like a camera on my face while I was watching Brock's scenes in this episode. Like, I can't even find the words to explain how I feel.
Mortified.
Every week, I was like gonna call you to like just commiserate about it. But like every week I am more and more upset by what I see from Brock on the show.
Okay, wait, let's take it to the engagement. So he went from literally like a rooftop Hollywood premiere shotgun wedding to literally like some dingy hotel after they signed their prenup. And it
That's their apartment. I think.
Oh my God, that's worse.
Yeah, no, I think it was there. They were going home.
It looks like they had like a hotel key. I don't know why.
I think it was like it's a new high tech apartment building.
Mm, interesting. Okay.
And that's why like the mom was there and the baby was there. Yeah. She was just about to walk into her apartment. He was like, wait.
So that's even worse. He didn't even pay for a hotel room. He paid for literally a balloon arch from Party City.
Right. And when the cars were honking in the background, I was like, is this an episode of The Morning Toast?
Jackie, that's literally one of my pet fucking peeves. Like when I go, I know it's like so obnoxious, but like, I'm always aware of the sounds. Like when I was touring venues for my wedding, I was like, nope, I just heard a honk. Absolutely not. During my wedding ceremony, I heard like a fork drop because like they were like setting up in a different room for like cocktail hour. I was like, oh my God, my wedding's ruined. Like I'm so triggered by sounds. And that was really, I don't know if that was superimposed.
I don't think so. It sounded
they
like
did
it
her seemed dirty.
They did her dirty. But I just
didn't hype up to anything. I didn't even know that this was the episode she was getting engaged. They didn't play music. They didn't even make it seem cute. They had horns. They did her fucking dirty. I just want to say, they could have edited it in a way where it would still be bad, but we wouldn't be like bashing it so hard.
I just want to say like something nice about Sheena, because like Sheena is just such a sport, you know, and like she, and of course, like,
to
you know,
a fault,
she, to a fault, definitely, like, and she has to learn everything the hard way and it's infuriating, but she really is, like, so hopeful. And when it comes to love, like, she really is blind. Like,
no, she's a hopeless romantic in the worst way.
And it's like, she really doesn't get bogged down by, you know, the fact that this is my engagement, or, you know, our wedding is going to be, like, on someone else's dime, on someone else's day. Like, and yes, she should, like, I mean, I wish that she eventually was like, no, we shouldn't do it then. But, like, it's like she doesn't even need all this stuff. Like, she just wants the love and the relationship. And I respect that a lot. And, like, even when Brock is just, like, being embarrassing, like, she really has his back. So, like, as a partner, like, Sheena really is a queen.
Agreed.
But then there's all the other stuff.
No. And, like, at some point, like, she's a woman, a mature woman, a mother. There is a responsibility on Sheena to stop a train wreck when she sees it, and it's one that she's involved in. And when they went to her with the idea and she loved it, I was so disappointed in her. And then even when she got there and Sandoval, like, expressed his concern, and she keeps saying, if nobody finds out, it's going to be fine. But the possibility of nobody finding out is 100% impossible. They're on a fucking reality TV show.
Right.
So, like, it's just really making me annoyed.
He said, we just need to keep it super, super secret for a while. And, like, so that no one ever thought that we took away from them. But and then eventually, like, people will know and they won't care because, like, they didn't know that it happened. So I think, like, he obviously knew that it's going to be on a TV show and we're going to find out. But it's like, even you having this conversation at the wine tasting is taking away from James and Raquel.
No, and you know what? They're so fucking dramatic because, like, if they had just showed up and Sheena wore her ring, no one would have been mad. You're allowed to get engaged. Like, it's not a big deal, but they're so dramatic and, like, secretive. Like, we can't tell anyone we got engaged, but we can get married the weekend of Raquel and James's. Like, they're so, like, unwell.
They are so unwell. I was cringing. I was in shock. I was cringing. Like, I went into this, like, just watching Sheena's relationship over the last 2 years, like, before the show aired. And then, you know, I went into this season, like, being like, wow, Sheena, like, has love. Like, she has this family. And I was ready to, like, just, like, support. Mm-hmm. You know, if he just was even, like, semi a good guy. Mm-hmm. And just every week it's red flag after another. And I'm just in shock.
No, and, like, if you go on Sheena's social media, like, she's just, people have a lot of questions, and people, especially in the Vanderpump Rules, like, fandom, are really mean, and so they're asking, like, these really rude questions, and Sheena's just responding to every single one of them, like, just defending her ring, defending her man, defending her decisions, her choices, and it just makes me so sad. Like, this is supposed to be, like, a happy time in your life, but they just went about it in the most moronic, stupid way, that it's, like, no one's, I'm not even thinking, like, oh, how nice for Sheena, she found love. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, and Sheena deserves better, because she is so fucking ride or die, like, mm-hmm. And she really doesn't complain, no matter how embarrassing her man is being or how little she is getting in regards to, like, what she deserves, which is
respect,
which is a proper wedding with where your friends can be there and even know about it and even know you were engaged. Like, that's something
they're
that she
acting
loves.
Like, she's pregnant. Like they have something to hide. What the fuck is the rush?
You guys,
it's both of their second marriages. Like,
you
what's
already
going
have
on?
A kid.
Like, yeah, the secret's out.
Well,
what is with the rush and the secrets?
Okay, some people have said, you know, it's
they wanted it on the show so that it could be paid for. That's what I was thinking.
That too, but what's there to pay for? There's three people there. It's giving green card vibes.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that last week, but they did speak about his visa status.
Yeah.
And as just like an added benefit of being in love and having a child is, you know, oh, what a great time. Like, I happen to be getting kicked out of the country and I happen to be engaged. It's cause for concern.
Yeah, I do think they would get married anyway. So, like, if you're going to have to go, like, leave the country, we should do it sooner than later.
Agreed.
But, like, tell everyone, bring us down to the courthouse, bring the cameras, and
right.
get married. Like, oh, my God.
Because once you leave, it's much harder to come back, even with a fiancé. So, I get it.
No, but so, say, like, they're really in a rush for a green card, but, like, they're also in a relationship, a real relationship. They have a family, and they're going to get married anyway. Okay, but we need to speed it up. Like, but still, why does it have to be so secret and, like, tacky and moochy, like, when we could do something so cute at the courthouse, like, and just straight up.
We didn't even talk about the photo shoot, which was the nicest photo shoot I've literally ever seen on TV, I've ever seen in real life. It was so, and you know, I'm so glad Lala and Katie talked about it, because it's like, this is, he kept talking about it was startup has no money, startup has no money, startup has no money, which I totally get. But either you're lying about how much money the startup has, or you are misappropriating funds to the nth degree. There was literally no reason why that studio needed to be that nice, that many models. Why do you need a DJ for a photo shoot? Plug in your iPad.
No, 100%. Also, he said he was setting up for days, which means, like, you were renting that space for days. Usually, like, you get it for a few hours. So, like, for, I don't know, 72 hours. Like, how much did that cost? Also, I'll say something nice before I go in. Mm-hmm. One, for an at-home fitness company, I think the name Homebody is perfection.
Agreed.
What is the company? Are we? Is it apparel? Is it, like...
No, it's workouts, I think.
It's, like, Beachbody.
Yeah, it's, like,
a streaming service for...
Yeah.
Okay, so then what the fuck did we watch last night? We watched a photo shoot for an athleisure company. That's what...
Yeah.
That's what we watched. And also, then, like, people were doing squats and stuff, but, like, these aren't trainers. So, like, is this really... Is this what you're streaming on your platform? Like, he had a major opportunity to show us his business, you know? And I don't know what the business is. Mm-hmm. And he lost... Like, I don't understand... I do believe it's at-home workouts, like, you know, like the Peloton app.
No, 100%.
But then what was the photo shoot? Why is...
What is Lala doing? She's not an Insta trainer.
Why is any of them doing? They're just, like, wearing clothes that say Homebody and taking pictures. What is this for?
No, I don't know. I can't tell
And
you.
So if it wasn't, like, if he spent all that money to... And he had a major
hours... Just to
hours,
do a promo.
No, but if he had all these hours in the studio and, like, we were filming... hours of content for the site. Okay, that's of yeah course. That's the cost of the app, but like this is all marketing and promotion budget.
That was the vibe that I got. Marketing,
you're out of control.
I do want to say one thing about Chyna, a positive, because you know she's getting so swept up, she's letting Brock like really make her look bad and do, make all these bad decisions, but I just love how she, and it's a little tacky to do it on TV and it's like uncomfortable, but her standing her ground so wholeheartedly with the prenup, making sure like she's like, my retirement, I want everything of mine and I want 7% of yours. Like, yes, girl, get your coin. Because not only did she have to learn the hard way the first time, this guy is possible, is even worse off financially than Shay Mooney. Or no, that's the guy from Dan and Shay.
Mike Shay. Yeah, I agree. But again,
I was proud
it's
of
like,
her.
It's like this Chyna extreme where it's like if that hadn't happened, if she literally like she has to just learn everything the hard way and everything in hindsight. And it's just that painful, like having to watch her go through, because if that hadn't happened, she would never she would say whatever she said probably about Shay, which is like, you know, well, we're in love and we're going to be together forever. Like, it's just it's hard to watch sometimes. So, yes, I'm glad that she's learning from her mistakes for sure. But I can't imagine a world in which she didn't.
No. And you know what I thought a really great part of the episode was? Watch What Happens Live with Raquel, with James and Lala. Literally, it was like the breakup episode. Tea was spilled. The whole episode was like, will Lala and James date? And they both were like, not into it, but they were like, not into it. They were like,
no.
Open.
Claude, like, I think there's something going on.
To be honest, I never in my life thought that James was good looking. Like, I never understood how he pulled these girls. But when he was sitting in his apartment and, like, the camera was, like, below him and, like, his bones were, like, really chiseled in his face, I was like, you know what? That is a handsome British man. It's until he opens his mouth that you're like, oh.
Yeah, and also, like, he's always just come off as, like, this younger twerp on the show, like, and it's just – he doesn't really seem like a
– Serious.
A serious guy, so you don't look at him in that way. But I just – Watch What Happens Live was so enjoyable. First of all, like, Lala is everything. Like, first of all, she looks so – amazing. She's really like, she's not holding back anything. I mean, she alludes to like, I still need to listen to all the podcast episodes, but unfortunately there's no video, so it's gonna like take me a few months to get through everything. She alludes to like, you know, like these dark disgusting things that like happened in her relationship, which I'm not entirely sure what that is, and I don't think like that's stuff that she's even shared. And there is like a line, because you know, for Ocean, like I'm sure she's not gonna put a lot of stuff out there, but she's really like answering every question and just being so
by
open.
The way, she talked the talk and she's walking the fucking walk. And I think like for me, what I was most impressed with on Watch Ramen's Live, like she was super open about everything with Randall, but then she was also really open about the fact that like the way that she got together with Randall, when she looks back on it now, it's, like, disgusting, and she's, like, regretful, and she, like, has, you know, feelings about Randall's ex-wife, because now that's her. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, like, I don't know, she talks a big game on the show, like, if this were me and I was Chyna, but she's doing it. Like, she fucking walked out. She's done zero. She said her and Randall communicate through an app, and it's only about Ocean. They literally have not spoken since the day she left. Like, she's doing the damn thing. Like, you have to respect it.
I agree. And also, I feel like she feels like she can't speak on anything else because, like, her situation is such a mess. But it's like, she has taken all of the advice that she gave to Sheena. Like, I don't see her. People are like, ooh, that didn't age well, like, considering
really?
What she's going through.
I disagree.
I don't see her as a hypocrite whatsoever. I think she's someone who says one thing and does the same thing. And
I completely agree. She's even more justified now to judge other people.
Right. But I feel like they were asking her, like, some shady questions, and she just felt, like, funny about even responding because it's like, you know, what she's in no place
who
to,
am
judge,
I to judge,
she said. But I don't think that's really fair. I feel like if she had acted in a hypocritical way, maybe that's the case. But, like, everything she's done is everything she's told Sheena or anyone else to do.
Yeah, no,
so I think she needs to be a little easier on herself. You know?
Yeah. And basically from James, he was basically like, me and Raquel are friends. Like, there was nothing interesting there.
Yeah. I'm excited for the reunion, though, to see, like, they'll obviously... I feel like they're not really talking about James and Raquel's breakup because that's a lot of the reunion stuff. But it was really just
a
pleasure to watch.
They told everyone.
I think that there's something going on between James and Lala, because when they were asked the question, it wasn't out of the realm of the possibility. Like, they were both, like, kind of, like, laughing and like, yeah, you never know, which is, like, a crazy thing to say about your best friend if that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And also, Andy asked Lala if she's dating yet. And she said, I'm talking to some people, but I just don't feel right, like, taking time away from Ocean to go on a date with someone. But, like, with James, she doesn't have to do that. So I feel like right now, like, they could be, like, hooking up, I swear.
Yeah, but Lala's response, which is 100% true, like, I don't think James is ready to be a stepdad. That's, like, a major concern.
Right, no, I don't think they're in a relationship at all. And I don't think they're going to be. But I think that they might be hooking up. Yeah.
I would love that for them. I really would.
Like, it's not like she has to go out on a date and, you know, wine and dine with this someone. Like, James comes over, they hang out, they have a good time, and, like, maybe they're hooking up.
No, and Ocean's just quietly sleeping in the next room.
Yeah, and, like, James, they're not, like, trying to date or anything. They're just, like, trying to be there for each other.
100%. I think it's very healthy.
I was really surprised. I would have thought that, like, no, never. Like, they're just
friends. They were, like, and it was all virtual last night, but you could feel the chemistry between the screens, like, I swear.
No, I agree. That was a bummer that it was virtual, because I would have loved to see them in the studio together.
Lala looked amazing.
She looked amazing.
So happy for her. It was actually a pretty good night of Vanderpump Rules. Next week is the season finale, and I'm just so excited for James and Raquel to find out this moronic plan.
Same. I'm sure Lala will be dragged across the Twitter sphere. But
it had to be done.
That she is going to tell them, because it's wrong.
It had to be done.
Also, there was, like, I mean, so many other things happened, like the Randall meeting and the investing.
Ooh, oh my God, which, you know, I wonder, like, I, like, was annoyed at Ariana for being late, but, like, shit happens. And, like, the way that everyone, like, days later was dragging her at the winery, it's like, oh my God, I can't be late once. Like, I actually felt bad for her.
I don't know. It's not like she was late because, like, she hit traffic and it was totally out of her control. Like, she knew she had a meeting, and then Tom also, like, tried to usurp her with his notary stuff. And it's like,
that's true.
Do it on your own time. I would have been fucking pissed. And I don't know what I would have done if this was, like, a real investor meeting. If this was a real investor meeting, say, like, for you and I, toast, whatever, and my husband, like, scheduled something that ultimately, like, was for his stuff, and, like, I had this big meeting on the board, like, I would leave. I would say, reschedule your notary.
Of course.
So many notaries
this episode.
So many notaries.
The notary community getting representation.
So the sandwich shop is sounding better and better.
Agreed.
I think. But also, I thought Charlie at the winery, like, she was being, like, so what? No, she was being so annoying, like, drinking everyone's last drink, being like, you whores. It's like, we're just having dinner in Santa Inez. It's a Thursday night. Calm down.
The thing is, like, they're just all on different pages. Like, Charlie's giving very much season one Vanderpump Rules, and these are all, like, married people with kids, and it's just not the vibe.
No, it's not the vibe at all, and it's like, read the room, and also, like, we have a long weekend ahead of us. I just thought she was being, like, so annoying. How annoying is that person who, like, every time you don't finish your drink is like, you fucking pussy whore. Like,
okay, that person, like, is me, so,
not,
like,
no, you're, yes, not, you're real, you're not, to, like, if we were going on a weekend trip to a winery, and this seems to be Thursday night, and it's gonna
and
be
I'm
long,
already drunk.
It's Thursday night, and it's gonna be a long weekend, like, that's just, like, welcome drinks, and we're just whining and dining. Like, she was just being so extra, and it's like,
no, that's totally
I'm
me.
Exhausted. No, it's not. It was just like, you're on the wrong show. You're here.
Agreed.
Too late.
You're
here
10
too
years
late.
Too late.
I'm sorry. Maybe you could go knock on another door. I don't know what shows are out there.
I agree.
But it was just like, it was not for me. But I think people like her.
Yeah, no, she was growing on me. And I thought the episode, honestly, was pretty good. Given, like, the off-camera drama, the Watch What Happens Live, I actually am really looking forward to the season finale, which is, like, the first time I've looked forward to literally anything this season. So it's all good.
Yeah. No, it's good. It'll be interesting to see where we go from here, though, like, with next season. And because this season, I think, overall, was, like, a transitional time. I can't imagine, like, it's going to stay the same for next season.
It's a business show. It's literally like Shark Tank on Bravo.
I don't think this season really, like, worked completely. Like, overall, I think they pulled it out. And now the stuff with, like, Lala, Randall, James, and Raquel is, like, making it interesting. But they're going to have to change something. So I just wonder what it's going to be.
Yeah. But that's our show.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else's. Happy hump day, everyone. Tomorrow's episode is our last of the week, and it will be podcast only, so make sure you check that out. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, so that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us on Morning Toast and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations on being a true toaster and a part of the Society Season 2. To let us know that you made it to the end of this episode, why don't you go drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram and make it the fire emoji in honor of the flaming lava hot sauce sperm that was sent up the Instagram model's vagina. Have an amazing day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow, podcast only. Bye
bye.